Hey y'all, I'm Elliot Tucker, an attorney at Houston Volunteer Lawyers, and if you're listening to this, you're a volunteer attorney for our Pro Se Drafting Assistance Clinics for Family Law Cases. We are super grateful for your service, and we're excited to get you ready. We've already sent you some PDF materials, some templates, but this bite-sized podcast is really meant to be listened to in a very laid-back setting. It's not a CLE. You can listen to this in your car, on that commute to work, on a jog, washing dishes, maybe playing a little Call of Duty. Here is what we're going to discuss. First, we're going to tell you what our drafting clinic looks like in practice. Then, we're going to do a really basic explanation of jurisdiction in Texas for family law matters. And last, we're going to talk about a thorny issue that just seems to always come up with pro ses, service of process. So, for the nuts and bolts of the matter, we're going to actually start with the end game, what our goal is. Our goal is for you to feel confident and have the knowledge to help with family law cases at our drafting clinics. One of these clinics is called Scribe Help at Law Pods. Twice a month, pro se family law litigants make appointments and go to the law library. They need help with the case, we've screened them, they sign up for an appointment. They go to the Law Pod, which is like an old school telephone booth, but it has great Wi-Fi, a PC, webcam, Zoom installed, and it's private. There's no nosy neighbors or family members lurking. HVL has pre-screened these cases closely. The litigants usually need to file a new case, or they have an active case, and they're going to need a motion for mediation or some sort of service issue. At the Scribe Help at Law Pods clinic, we help three litigants, and their sessions are about an hour to 2 hours. Here's how it works. The pro se shows up for their appointment. You, the volunteer attorney, have already gotten an email from us, HVL, which includes a one-page PDF summary and a few suggested template documents to draft. The pro se shows up to the library. The law library staff takes them to the Law Pod booth, which has Zoom. You, though, can be anywhere you want as long as you have Zoom and can do some drafting. You could be at your office, you could be at home, you could be on vacation. You just log in, they log in. You introduce yourself, you talk about their case, you review facts, make sure nothing has changed, because sometimes in already filed case, things can change overnight. We can't place these cases that quickly, and sometimes deadlines will come and go, and we let them know that. After you've talked to them, introduce yourself, and they're still cool with the drafting process, you will explain limited scope representation briefly. Basically, it's one and done. You're drafting documents that day, or maybe 1 or 2 days later if they're really complex and you need review. After you send those documents, though, it is on them to print and file them. That is the limited scope retainer. You don't show up to a hearing at all. You can sign up for another clinic, and they could try to sign up for another clinic, but you're basically sort of like a fly-by-night attorney. They're all cool with that. We've already screened them, but you just double-check, and then you're going to tell them, you know, what you think needs to be drafted. You're going to corroborate a few facts, confirm facts, and then if everything is okay, if they're cool with what's supposed to be drafted, then there's a pause. And during this pause, you need to get a limited scope representation document e-signed. We can help you with sign requests. You can use your firm stuff. But always get the limited scope document signed before you start drafting and sending anything. It is to protect you. You need to do this. There cannot be a dispute later that, oh, I thought they were going to go to my hearing. Oh, I thought they were going to file this motion. When our template limited scope rep has everything spelled out very succinctly and very thoroughly. Okay, so we do the pause. We get everything signed. We wait to get both e-signatures. We're dark on Zoom. Now we got done. You log back on. You can let them know things have been signed, and you can start drafting away. Some attorneys like to draft as they talk, to go fact by fact. That's how our templates are set up. Our templates are not based on ProDoc or AR software. They're sort of plug and play. We have red highlighted areas in the petition and the motions for you to go and fill in key documents. This can also allow you to pre-draft if you want to so that the sessions can be under an hour sometimes. We've seen that before. Okay, you draft the documents. You can do another pause. Because remember, this entire time, me, our Corey, our another HVL staff member, is doing an email thread with you to answer your questions in real time, and we can take a phone call. You draft these documents, you can email them to us, and we'll look at them first, we'll thoroughly vet them, and we'll say, okay, it's good to go. Now, once it's good to go, this is where there's differences between our two clinics. There's Scribe Help at Law Pods, where they go in person. Then we do a Thursday evening session, which is just Scribe Help, and that's all by phone. That's for individuals who can't get downtown or don't want to battle the downtown parking. Now, if there's Scribe Help at Law Paws, they're at the Law Library, and there's free printing. So for the new filing cases, they want to print it, they want to sign it, and they want to go in person to the courthouse that's basically next door and have the clerks help them file it. Remember, a lot of low-income Texans are not that tech savvy. Going from a Word document to a PDF, doing e-filing, it's really hard for them. So that's why when you're at Scribe Help at Law Pods, a lot of times you'll be emailing documents to them and also with their permission to a law librarian who can print things out for them. For Scribe Help, it's totally different. They got to do it on their own. They got to figure out printing it, or they got to figure out how to e-file. And I mean, once you've done that, once you've emailed the documents to them, really your session is done. You can wait a week, wait a few days. You can send them a closing email, and that's it. You've done all your work. Your representation has concluded. Now, a good way to think about a family law case and why this service is so essential and so helpful, has become so popular, is that, especially for a pro se litigant, a family law case is sort of like a race around a track with hurdles. The finish line is to get that final decree or order. For some litigants, the biggest hurdle is that first one, the initial petition and the service request. They have trouble psychologically, like, am I ready for a divorce? There's an emotional component. But there's also the fact that the TLH forms are great, but they still have some legalese and can be a little confusing. Also, the Texas Family Code has all sorts of presumptions that can just confuse anybody, even attorneys. For example, if there's a child born during the marriage but after separation, they may think, oh, well, that's not them. We're good. But Texas has a presumption of paternity if you were married. It is not guaranteed that you're going to get around it. Another huge hurdle we see all the time with litigants is service of process. A lot of times, individuals think, oh, well, they disappeared 10 years ago. I should get a divorce easily. Based on the Texas and U.S. Constitution, there are due process rights. Individuals have to be served. Now, you have some solutions for, you know, service by publication, alternative service, but it's not guaranteed. And then, of course, there's always issues where if you have real estate to divide in that final decree or contested custody issues, a decree can get up to like 30, 40, 50 pages long and need sort of templates that aren't boilerplate, where you have to be a little creative. Now, as an attorney, when you're doing full scope rep, you never know which hurdle is going to trip you up. But with Law Pods and Scribe Help at Law Pods, we have pre-screened these cases, so we know the hurdle they're kind of looking at. So you're basically going in prepared. You know what to do for them, and you're helping them with that. And it's awesome. It's a really good feeling to help them get over that hurdle. It can be a little frustrating because a lot of times you'll have a connection with the client and want to see them get to that finish line. But remember, there's 4 to 5 hurdles. We're only helping with one hurdle this time. If you volunteer more and if they like us and come back, maybe in 6 months that can happen. But only focus on that one hurdle. Really, the key thing to these drafting clinics and why they're crucial is because we're doing attorney issue spotting and delivering high-quality drafted documents. AI messes things up. Paralegals mess things up. Notaries mess things up. People mess up the TLH forms. Having an attorney pre-screen, issue spot, and draft makes a huge difference, and that is what we are seeing. Now, for you to be able to volunteer, you're going to need a computer, reliable Wi-Fi, an email, and you're going to probably need Word, our Open Office, our Google Docs. Now, you're going to get a case placement summary for each case, an email, and some suggested advice. But remember, you don't have to have any family law experience to do this, or any drafting experience. If you want to dip your toe in the pool of drafting, of sort of seeing what litigation sometimes looks like, our family law, this is a great opportunity for you. One thing that is sometimes helpful is having a Harris County District Clerk login and username with attorney access. That's for people who want to do their own issue spotting and file review, but it's not needed. We already do a lot of that for you. Okay, so just recapping. First and third Wednesday of the month in the mornings, we have the Scribe Help at Law Pods Clinic at the Downtown Law Library. Appointments are at 10, 11, 30, and 1. Then, second and fourth Thursday in the evenings, we have Scribe Help. That's all by phone. Both are helping pro se family law litigants. Similar processes. You draft documents. You help them. One and done. Okay. Now let's go through an example of what this looks like in practice. We're going to give you an example from a Scribe Help at Law Pods clinic. You're the volunteer attorney. You log on to your computer, turn on Zoom, you join the Law Pod meeting at 11 a.m. Jason is a Texan who filed his divorce months ago and he logs on. You two chatted up a bit. In the case summary email, you saw that Jason had attempted service twice with no luck. He tells you he's not sure where his wife is. Now, you tell Jason you could help him search for his wife and maybe do a service request. You only have 1.5 hours, so you want to keep things simple. He agrees. You edit the HVL template limited scope rep agreement, save as a PDF, and you get it e-signed by both of you. Jason tells you he has a phone number for her that rings and goes to voicemail, and he's tried texting, but she doesn't text back. In our guide we send you for Scribe Help, we have high-quality free websites like Fast People Search to check those addresses. You can also check Harris County voting records for free. You do this, and you draft 2 new service requests for Jason. But you also notice that Jason did not file an affidavit of indigency. He's been paying a lot of fees. So, again, you can draft one for him, and you can also get his permission from to share these docs with the law library for him to print. You do so. He says yes. You email the documents. He's happy. The law librarian takes up the printed docs. You two talk about them and go over them. You explain that he needs to file the poppers out in the service requests. You then explain to Jason, representation has ended. You did the task, and he'll get a closing letter via email later that week. He's happy. He leaves. He goes to do his poppers and his due service requests. A week later, you send that email, and you are done. You've just made a massive difference in Jason's life. You've used online attorney expertise to find possibly good addresses, service requests, and save them money. So even if they're losing time in this endeavor, they're not losing money. Every dollar counts for low-income Texans, especially in this economy. You've also helped to declog courts because you're moving pro se cases along. Now, we're going to shift gears from that example to talk about the black letter law and everyone's favorite thing ever, jurisdiction. Family law jurisdiction in Texas, I know, is the sexiest topic you could imagine. I'm sure you all are not spacing out right now having trauma of international shoe whatever and personal jurisdiction in law school. I know I'm not. Really, the executive summary for jurisdiction in Texas for family law is kids come first. If they are kids, they come first. Where are the kids? Where the kids at is super important. So I'm going to talk about divorces with kids. For divorces where there are minor children under 18 born of or during the marriage are adopted, the law is crystal clear. Where have the kids resided the last 6 months? You have to file where the kids have lived those last 6 months, with only exceptions for a very dire life or death emergency or abduction. This is because Texas has adopted the UCCGEA to prevent separated parents from disrupting their kids' life by an impromptu move to another state to file for custody, because they think, oh, my aunt filed in Nevada for custody in one, so I'm going to just move over there. Or, oh, we're in a dispute. He doesn't really care for the kids anyway. I'm just going to head out to California. The UCCGEA put a stop to this. If there are any kids in a divorce, you have to file almost always where those kids are living. You also have to file in the same court if there's a prior order if you want to modify or enforce it. Now, if you move or want to move with the kids and want to change the courts that hears these matter, you have to file a petition with the court with that original order and request a transfer. This is the same if you get a geographic restriction. You have to tell that original court, hey, I have to move for work. Please get rid of this. And the other side has a chance to argue. All right, now let's talk about a divorce without kids. Jurisdiction can be a bit trickier. In theory, the court has jurisdiction over both parties and the marital union. And here's the example. Did you get married in Texas? If you did, you have jurisdiction. Did you and your spouse live in Texas as a married couple? You have jurisdiction. But remember, when there's real estate involved, it's almost always best to file the divorce in the county and state where that property is. And that's because at the end game, the enforcement, after you get a decree or order. If you get a decree, it's easier to have the same court force a sale of real estate that did the divorce and the decree. A court order is just a piece of paper. Some respondents are a bit cynical and are going to wait until the constables come and knock on their door. This can be true in real estate transactions and real estate enforcement. Most HVL applicants don't have real estate issues. We screen for income and assets, so we don't see that too much and don't worry about it, but sometimes it will come up out of the blue. The reality is that most of the cases you'll see will have issues with personal jurisdiction and more specifically, the issue of serving the respondent. Beyond the legal, theoretical question of personal contact, minimum contacts, we see a lot of MIA missing in action cases. Basically, the spouse has zero idea or limited idea of where the spouse is. They've been separated for years, or one of them moved recently. Here's a classic example. Maria comes to one of the clinics because she filed a custody case over her 2 kids. Her husband was arrested for DWI, and then he got removed to another country several years ago. He's in, for example, Monterrey, Mexico, but they're not in contact and he's blocked her on social media. She wants to file custody to get what's called sole managing conservatorship because that'll let her get passports for their minor kids without him signing. We see that quite a bit. Here's another common example. James moved to Houston about 2 years ago, got married really, but he had been married really young in upstate New York, but they separated afterwards. They haven't spoken in a decade. He thinks she lives in New York still. He wants to get divorced, but he's in Houston. Do you have to file in New York or Houston? And lastly, sometimes you have respondents who are in Houston, but they're hard to find. Some people move to and live in Texas because it's a pro-debtor, anti-creditor state, in some people's view, where collecting a debt is hard. When these individuals are sued, they have a very cynical take and try to game the judicial process by playing hide and seek. They believe if they're not served, the lawsuit disappears, and sometimes it does get DWOPed. Sadly, when you're looking at these cases where they're missing actors, pro se's think, oh, well, the constables will do the work. Oh, the clerk will look for it. Oh, the judge is going to do this. Individuals don't understand how the common law adversarial process works. They think they're going to get a helping hand, and they are not. One of the key things you do is explain that to them. Consuls are not going to do a search for you. They'll go knock on a door on two times and leave a card, but that's it. We have attorneys can maybe do some searches, but we still have limited options as well. Unless the pro se wants to invest hundreds of dollars with a private investigator, there's a chance they may not be able to find these individuals. Okay, so recapping. We've covered a lot, but now you know a lot of the issues of jurisdiction, service of process, but also the nuts and bolts on how you volunteering makes a huge difference for pro se litigants. I promise you, for every clinic, HVL has a staff attorney available by chat, email, and phone to talk about any novel issues that come up. We do our best to pre-screen and prepare, but you can always pause the session because sometimes with family law, you just do not know what's going to happen. You may have some WTH moments. And the best part about this clinic, which we've seen with several volunteers, is once you get a few cases and sessions under your belt, you'll be drafting motions, petitions, service requests in minutes. The templates we got you are constantly updated based on the Texas Family Code, and they're very user-friendly. Well, that's all for now. Thanks very much for listening, and I really hope that I'll get a chance to work with you and collaborate in the future. You have a good one.